Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Truly, it has been good to be here. I very much appreciated Brother Jesse's devotions on the things about the desert and how that can be compared to our lives. In the perfect world that God created, I don't believe there was any desert. But in the world in which we live, there are. And we as humans often don't realize what we have until it is gone. And then we realize what we had. And I think we should use those times to draw us closer to God. As you've already been informed, there was ministers' meeting and conference this week, and it was a very good experience. Obviously, it was our first time there. We very much enjoyed it, and I would encourage you all to go on the website, the app, ever how you access those things. The sermons are available. There is actually tabs on the home page that make them easy to find. So I would encourage you, if you spend your time working and listening at the same time, they would be some good listening to fill your mind with. For a message this morning, you can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. There's a phrase here that I've been thinking about a good bit lately, stood out to me, and forgive me if I'm pulling this out too singularly out of the verse. We will look at the verses surrounding it as well as we go along, but I want to begin by reading verse 20. It's not the full sentence. I want to take one phrase out of there for the title of our message this morning. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You all recognize this as a benediction on the end of Paul's prayer. The phrase that I want to look at is according to the power that worketh in us. What is this power? The title is the power that worketh in us. We're all familiar with power to some degree. It does many things for us. When the lights go out, some people say the power failed. The source. There's also a term we use to in relation to people. We might refer to the powers that be. You as an employee may tell your co-employee, well, we'll have to see what the powers that be have to say about this idea. One of the definitions of power is one having control, authority, or influence, and that would be your boss. That would be whoever. And that person then has power, which is the first definition, is the ability to act or produce an effect. So that is what power is. It's the power to the ability to get something done, to make change, to bring about an effect that you want. In the Greek word that this is derived from, the definition in Strong's would be new and higher forces that have entered and are working in this lower world of ours, referring to the power, a higher power, as many will say, referring to God. So I want to look at this a couple different ways and see what we can learn. I have a number of verses to turn to, so if you'll follow along, maybe we can receive the inspiration that comes from seeing how God's word works together. So obviously, Paul was praying, so he's praying to God, him that is able to do all these things. But he's only able to do them according to this power. So we want to look at the source of this power, Psalm 62. Psalm 62 and verse 11. I realize that some of these verses, we're not going to read the complete thought, so we will lift out the ideas that we were after. God is the source of this power. Verse 11. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth to God. Belongeth would carry the thought of originating, or it comes from God. It's not just that he deserves to have it because it belongs to him, but he is the source of it. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 10. Look at some things that God has done with his power. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 12. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. It's by God's original idea that the earth exists. It's so far beyond our ability to create that it's definitely, it's the power of God. It is interesting to me the recent events with the space mission that orbited the moon. It is impressive to me how many of those people that see these things acknowledge the power in the hand of God in creation. And it is something that I'm sure most of us will never get to see other than through the eyes of the cameras that they were carrying. It is a beautiful thing. Psalm 66, we see God ruling. He is the source, he is the creator, he's the ruler. Psalm 66, verse 7. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. He ruleth by his power forever. The world that we live in will never be outside the control of this God. I want to look also at the power of Jesus Christ. You may recognize where this is going. Ephesians chapter 1, we have the power of Jesus Christ. How does Jesus Christ fit in with God? One of the impressive things to me that I've been, you could say, inspired by, but yet also it's a little hard to know how to put this all together. When you start studying something like this, you soon realize how many of these things you're only just barely touching on. And it's amazing to discover how big these topics are. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Jesus Christ here is listed as supreme over all things. I'm going to read verses 15 through 23 and just allow the language and the greatness of these words to impress you as we read this. Verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he hath wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Jesus Christ was made supreme over all things by God the Father himself. Jesus made reference himself numerous times of being present at creation. If you go through the Gospels, you can read numerous verses where Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. The one time they were trying to figure out how he knew these things and how he could talk like he was there before Moses. And he's like, before Moses, before the law, I am. Jesus is God, and Jesus was there. And as we think about it, we have trouble making this all one, but we look at them as separate persons of one God. God has made him to be all far above all power and might and dominion and every name that is named in this entire world. We saw some of that in our Sunday school lesson today, the way that God did that and the reasons for that. We also have the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is where this connects more to us. This is the, in our language, we would say in the bridge. The person of God's Trinity that is with us today in person. Genesis chapter 1, we see that the Holy Spirit was also present all the way from creation. God's Spirit moved in the creation experience. And there's many times in the Old Testament where God's Spirit came upon individuals and they did amazing things. But we don't see it as a group until we get to the New Testament. Let's turn to Luke chapter 24. The Holy Spirit was promised before it was poured out on God's people. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, this was Jesus speaking, but he was repeating a promise from God the Father. It says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." This was a promise directly from God the Father that there would be a spirit, his spirit, would come upon them, and they were to stay where they were until this happened. And then we go forward to Acts chapter 1. This promise is repeated, or in this case it is more from the context of Jesus. This would be after his resurrection, I believe. Yes, it was right before his ascension, actually. This was the promise of the Holy Spirit given by Jesus. Verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So in Luke 24, God is saying, stay in Jerusalem until this happens. And in here, Jesus is saying, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and then you shall go. This is the power that you are going to go in. And there's another thing that is called the power of God. Romans chapter 1. I believe this was just in our Sunday school lesson a week or two ago. A verse that we discussed. Verse 16 of Romans chapter 1. Again, this is Paul writing to the church in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we see this power on high. We see Jesus coming. We see the Holy Spirit on people. And now we see the gospel of Christ is the power of God. The gospel is good tidings of the kingdom of God. God was building a kingdom that men did not understand. And that is why we have most of these letters in the New Testament, is explaining the changes, explaining how God wants to work among his people. The good tidings of the kingdom of God is the power of God for us. Unto salvation to everyone that believeth by faith, this power can be ours. So as we think about this power, the question came to me, are there counterfeits? And I know to seek out a counterfeit, you don't study the counterfeits, you study the true. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on counterfeits, but I believe there are some. The thing that we need to remember as we look at the forces in the world around us and the things that people do, the things that people search out to find fulfillment, just because something has power does not automatically make it a good thing. There are powers in the world. There are even spiritual powers that are powers of darkness, and they do work in the world in which we live. So I think it's important to understand that just because it's a power does not necessarily make it good. We may look to ourselves. Some people are convinced that if they decide strongly enough, or they decide well enough, that they can make their own life happen. They can make their own decisions, and they can overcome their own bad habits, or they can all of these things. We call that willpower. If I have enough willpower, I can do all these good things myself. Most of us probably have experience with that. Those of us who have chosen to follow Christ probably remember a time before that we were frustrated at ourselves for this. It just doesn't work out. We're not given this power of ourselves. There are also, as I mentioned, there are powers of darkness. There's actively seeking out those powers, which is something we should not be doing. We should not even be curious about how this is done. But I think it is good to know that it is something that is done by some. The Bible uses words like sorcery and divination. The definition of sorcery is divination by alleged assistance of evil spirits, the art or practice that seeks to discover hidden knowledge by the aid of supernatural powers. These things are in the world, but they are not for us. And then there's the more benign counterfeits that are maybe good things, but if we undertake them without the aid of God, they are a counterfeit to the real power. Things like support groups, friends groups, worldly counseling, things like that, that maybe in and of themselves are not a bad thing, but when we let God out of the picture, they are so incomplete that they will not fill the need. Another one I thought of is distractions. What do we distract ourselves with when we have a need? Sometimes we get the idea that if we distract ourselves, the problem will go away, when really what we need is repentance or forgiveness, or you can fill in the gaps, whatever you're facing. There are times probably when it's healthy to move on and think about other things, but if we're using it to distract ourselves and use that as a power in our life apart from God, it will not be the power that you need. So there is a power available. Who gets it, and how do we get it? Turn to Psalm 79. Psalm 79, verse 11. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee, according to the greatness of thy power, preserve thou those that are appointed to die. Here we see people who are obviously under some type of weight. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee. Let their cry be heard. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. You'll recognize that as the ending of the Lord's Prayer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. This was included in Jesus' model prayer. So I think one of the keys to receiving this power from God is prayer. How can we receive something from God if we do not spend time in his presence? How can we hear from him if we're not fellowshipping with him? And I find this to be a challenge to myself because of the busyness of life. Where are we spending our time? Also, another condition for receiving the power from God is found in Acts chapter 2. I love this story in Acts 2 of the birth of the church. The things that happened there, it was a lot of supernatural. There was a lot of interesting things that happened here. And this was, if I have it correctly, 10 days after Jesus' ascension. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. After all this had happened, the Holy Spirit had come upon them, Peter stood up and he preached, and everyone was understanding whether or not they all knew the same language. And everyone was moved and said in verse 38, or in verse 37, now when they had heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repentance. Can you imagine being in that group and seeing the things that happened there? The power that came upon them. But we cannot receive it unless we are willing to give up our sins, repent of sin. It was a key element that Peter gave them. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So if we do this, what is it going to do for us? What will this power do for us? It will give us understanding. We can back up to the beginning of chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." I don't know what all you think of when you think of this powerful event, but it was amazing, I believe, in a way that was completely new. I'm not sure how many people were there, but I'm also not sure exactly how it went. But the Holy Spirit definitely came upon the apostles, and not sure if everyone there were believers exactly. But I am intrigued with the power of understanding that this brought upon them. The speaking in tongues has been debated and attempted to be replicated many times since, and I believe God still does give out this power to his people. It may not be in literal language. You can argue over whether these people were speaking in a tongue they didn't know themselves, or whether everyone was just hearing in their own language, and I don't think that matters. But one thing that I see in our present day that I think is equivalent to this, and I rejoice to be able to be in a place where this happens, and I do believe it happens right here in our group, and that is that when the word is preached, we do not all hear the same thing. We are not all impressed with the same thoughts. We are not all inspired by the same part of the message necessarily. But we each have different needs, and we can each receive something that meets our needs. And so I believe that this is a power that God is still using. And I don't know, maybe if I'm stating that too strongly, you can correct me, but I see that as an equivalent to the speaking in tongues that still happens regularly right here. You can turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, closely connected with this understanding. First Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 11 through 16 will give us the power of the Holy Spirit, will give us spiritual discernment. Chapter 2, verses 11 through 16. "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." No man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man. We can keep things secret because we know them. No one else knows them. God can keep things secret too if he decides to. He keeps a lot of things from us. But have you ever met someone that it is very obvious that they do not have the Spirit of God? Things that we know and understand, and you try to explain something on a spiritual level, and you realize there is no understanding. And you don't know where to start because there's just no basis there. That's what I think of when I read these verses. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And we can only know the things of God as we allow the Spirit, the power of God's Spirit in us. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It's not just because he doesn't want to, it's because he can't. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. No man naturally can know the mind of the Lord, in verse 16, but we have the mind of Christ. That's a thrilling thought when you think of being able to have God's Spirit and have the mind of Christ. So I want to turn back now to Ephesians chapter 3 and look at a bit at this prayer, this benediction. I'm just going to read verses 20 and 21 again. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. This is what the power of God can do in us. If we have the power of God, God is able. And I don't know what things that you would like to have happen in your life. But whatever it is, God is able. To think of examples from the Bible, we'll not turn to them, but think of people like King David. He was just a young man, and he saw the cause of for the kingdom of Israel when Goliath was challenging them. He had a connection to the Spirit of God, and God gave him strength to do an amazing thing that was outside the realm of natural possibility. The same is true for Samson. Samson was, you might say, a troubled person. He had made a lot of missteps. But God's Spirit also was upon him, at least from time to time. And he did things that were far beyond what anybody would have predicted or guessed. It was not natural. Daniel had the strength to face a lot of things. We focus on Daniel's experience with the lion's den. He also was a young man when he faced exile and taken into a foreign king's court and taught in the ways of a foreign kingdom and culture. And yet he had the strength. He had the provision, the spiritual provision to maintain his connection with God. We think of in the book of 1 Samuel, there's a lady called Hannah who had a very deep cry for something from God, and God blessed her. Her faith and her connection, God gave her a son, and she gave him back to God. In the New Testament, there's examples like the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter. You could go on and on. The amazing things that were done. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I'm sure if you could ask Paul that if he could have imagined the experiences that he would go through before they happened, I'm sure that he would not have been able to tell you all these things, and that yet he would come out alive, and not only alive physically but alive spiritually and connected to God after all that he went through. And the same with Peter. The challenge for me in that was, do we have enough faith to, in this power of God, to go beyond what we ask or think? Whatever we do, God's beyond that. Do we have physical issues of healing? God is able. Do we need direction? There's decisions in life that we look at and we don't know which way to go. God is able. God provides direction. Sometimes we're just not looking for it. Provisions. We heard this morning about many different health needs, financial needs that are created by the medical system and the large bills that we face. Do we have faith that God can provide? And I think if we're honest, we can look back and we can be amazed at the way God has provided, has directed, has healed. All these things are in us through God's Spirit. And another challenge I would like to leave with us is this power is not strictly for our, and it doesn't sound right to say for our benefit, because it is for our benefit, but it's not just for us to consume in ourselves and get nice things and be healthy and strong. The focus of this prayer is the glory of Christ Jesus. By Christ Jesus, glory to God. Unto him who is able, be the glory in the church. So as we think about the fruit of our lives, the fruit of our lives will be the outcome of the power that drives us. What is the source of this power? We should examine it. It is an indicator of where it's coming from. And the purpose of all of this, in the end, is to bring glory to God. So are we living to bring glory to God? Is our church bringing glory to God? Is my personal life? So as you go this week and you think about the things that you do, you think about the things that you want to have happen, allow it to draw your heart and your mind to God. God is able. As long as we are committed to doing what he leads us to do for his glory. Let's kneel together for prayer.